So Stephanie's starting our recording. For those who don't know, we do have a website, and the lessons are recorded. So if heaven forbid you were to miss on a Tuesday, you can listen in and hear what you missed. Our handouts are also posted on the website, and as well as our playlist. I wanted to mention the song we just sang because embedded in that is very much of what we'll be talking about, and that's kind of going to be our theme song this year. We'll sing that one a lot at first. For those of you who don't really get into the music part of this, I'd like to encourage you to give it a try. Unless you're kind of squeezing that lunch hour out of the office and trying to get here or dropping off a child or something like that, it's one of the ways that we practice taking in the Word of God and opening up to the Word of God, because each one of the songs we sing is biblical. It's full of biblical truth. So we'll begin our time with singing at 10, and then I'll close us in prayer, and then I'll bring the lesson. Everybody needs to have a yellow page. Does everybody have a yellow handout before we start? Okay, good. So with no further ado, I want to go ahead and talk to us about our lesson, the first lesson in this series this year called God's Living and Active Word. And today's title is A Word Study. And so I need to go back to that song. So back in March of this past year, this artist, Anna Golden, she's a songwriter, she's a pianist, she's got that wonderful alto voice. She wrote an 18-song album, and somebody shared it with me, and I started listening to it, and I just couldn't quit, and I loved every song. So many of them were scriptures brought to music, and I was just really being blessed by listening to that music in my devotional time with the Lord. And it was interesting because I had like my top three favorites that I just like would go to them every day. But when I was like doing that thing of just, wiping off the countertops or doing something mindless, like hanging my clothes back up in the closet or something like that, the song that kept coming to my mind was the song that we just sang, The Word. And y'all, I'm just going to be honest with you. I wasn't a big fan of that song. I mean, I didn't hate it or anything, but it was just like, I kind of thought, yeah, the Word. Yeah, we got it. And yet, I've noticed that that's the way God does a lot of times. He'll continue with a theme. He'll kind of nudge us, and he'll repeat a message over and over again. And so that song was like an earworm. I could not get away from it. So I sat down and I decided I'm gonna really spend some time in this song, because and just kind of pick it apart, look at the scriptures that are behind it. And as I did that, y'all, I started getting really, really, really excited about something that we should be really, really, really excited about all the time, and that's the Word of God. But y'all, I feel like one of the challenges to the course that we're going to be doing and the topic that we have this year is that thing of familiarity. That we are so blessed. It's a good problem to have, that we're so blessed with a community and with faith communities that are so full of God's Word that we begin to just sometimes not even hear it. We can hear a verse, and before we even get to the middle of it, we can kind of dismiss it like, oh yeah, I know that verse, And so I got really inspired when I began to think about the possibilities of engaging with the Word of God, as it says in the book of Hebrews, in a living and active way. And so that's what we're going to do this year. And what my hope is that we will come away with a new understanding, a deeper understanding of the depth of the riches of the Word of God. And that what that will produce in us is a different way of engaging with it and different methods or approaches is probably a better word of engaging with the Word of God that are biblical that we may never have tried before. I don't know about you, but I can get in a rut in my relationships, not just in my relationship with my family members or my friends, but in my relationship with the Lord. And so one of the things we'll be doing is try some new approaches and mix things up a little bit in the way we spend our time with the Lord in His Word. So that's kind of my overall plan. I'm going to confess to you that I write this week to week, and I do that for two reasons. One, because I want it to be organic. Two, because I told the Lord, Father, if you're calling me to teach, I always, always want to be a person of integrity who's living what I'm teaching. I don't want to just say a bunch of stuff. I want to actually be doing what I'm teaching. So that helps me to be really excited and fresh with what we're talking about. And I can get feedback from you guys. So please, I'm going to give you my email and my contact information. Send me feedback. Send me questions. I welcome that and enjoy that. So anyway, let's talk about our title verse. So I know you recognize it. God's Word is living and active. And that's found in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 4:12, which it happens to be a really special verse to me personally. When I was in fourth grade, I read this verse for the first time, and I just went, that's so cool, God. And I wrote it down in my little, I guess, a Sunday school journal book. And I decided, I think I'm going to memorize that Bible verse. Y'all, nobody told me to do that, but I just was so mesmerized by that verse that I decided to memorize it. So it's a real special one for me, between me and the Lord. And so that just pumps up my excitement about us being able to explore this topic this year. So let's read it in the ESV right there on about the fifth bullet point down on page one of your handout. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So this is one of the key verses in Scripture that tells us about Scripture. So we're not going to have time to talk about every little bitty thing that it tells us about Scripture. We'll be plunging into that as we go throughout the year. But I did want to explore the keywords. But before I do that, I want to explore the context of this. Okay, so the book of Hebrews, the writer is unknown. So start noticing this. It's kind of a thing that teachers and preachers do. They'll say, the writer of Hebrews. You know, and then I start thinking, well, maybe we should not say the writer of Hebrews. Maybe we could start saying God says in Hebrews, you know, because that's who's teaching us through the Scriptures. So God tells us in Hebrews, it's a book that was written to the early church, to Jewish believers who'd come to know Jesus, who had gone from the old covenant of works of keeping the law and the Ten Commandments and had come into faith in Christ in his gospel message of grace. And they were having a hard time with that. And so the context of this verse is at the end of a two-chapter teaching, sort of a section in the book of Hebrews. And in that section, what the writer of Hebrews does is remind those people of their heritage. And he hearkens back to the wilderness days, and he reminds them of the things that Moses said to his people in that day. He reminds them of how David, then in the Psalms under his reign, when he was king, reminded the people again of these things. And then he's writing to the early church, and now today God is speaking these same things to us. The context is this. Don't make the same mistake that your forefathers did. I want you to, number one, listen to God. And he says it multiple times, and I've given you one of those references here about the context of this. And I'm going to tell you that listening to God, if you were going to name one of the, what are the five most important values that divine design holds in terms of what we want to impart to people who participate in this ministry and are part of this ministry, is that we would become sharper at listening to God as we sit under the teaching of his word, as we engage with him in prayer, as we share what he's doing in our lives, is listening. And we'll do that right here in class. So in just a few minutes, we're going to have our first listening exercise. And that's where we take a few minutes of self-reflection. I'll turn it into a prayer. We'll ask God to take what we just said and apply it to our hearts. And so that gives you practice at tuning in to the Holy Spirit and how he's applying the Word of God to our hearts. And then we will, at the end, for those of you who've never done this before, we'll get to the end of the lesson. I'll say a closing prayer, and then there'll be a place on your page that says one thing. And we'll take 3 or 4 minutes to quietly, as a group, just be silent and to listen again and to write down, if there's only one thing you could take home and apply this week, what would that be? And it helps because we're going to talk for, you know, more than 30 minutes, probably more than 40 minutes. And so instead of feeling overwhelmed, you can feel like, oh, no, I feel like the Lord's really kind of honing in on this for me. This is what applies to my life, and this was feels right for me today. And you'll come away feeling more like you've heard from God, and it'll feel more personal. So I think that's been something that we've used a lot successfully, and I hope you'll find it helpful. So the context, again, is first of all, listen to God, top priority. Second of all is believe. And do you know that when you look at Scripture, the thing that in the New Testament that that what God expects from us is that one, this one thing is to believe him. And I love what Jesus said. I've used this verse so many times to get me back to what's really important in my relationship with him. And let's listen to what Jesus says in John 6:29, and this is in the New Living. Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." So God is pleased by faith, right? And he wants us to believe the words he's spoken. Now, there's a little phrase that we use based on this verse. We need to work to believe. And y'all, it's true, we really do need to work to believe, because sometimes you'll hear something and it's challenging. It's different from what your thought process is currently. It may be because it's new information, or it may just be because it's something that's hard for you, an area of weakness or whatever. So we have to work to believe that God's word is better than what we're already currently thinking. So that second, listening to God, believing him, and then not hardening our hearts, which basically means to listen and to believe. To not do those things would be harden your heart. And so what that requires is an openness, a sensitivity, a responsiveness, a willingness to heed what the word has said. And, you know, we can, as I mentioned before, just being familiar with something can cause us to be kind of, I hate to use the word callous, and it's not really indifferent, and it's not really apathetic, but just not as responsive. You know, it's just not as open, not as really listening and applying like we're talking about. Some other things I wanted to mention, that when you've fallen into a time where it's hard to receive God's words, I did some research on that. And some of the things that I found, first of all, isolation. Let's think back to COVID, you know. When you're not in a community situation, that is a time where, you know, we stir one another up. We encourage one another. We build one another up. And so that being in a group like this is super helpful to keep your heart soft and teachable. Another liability to becoming hardened to the Word of God is busyness or distraction. Just think of all the data bites that come through your head in a day. I mean, it's easy to let the Word of God get diluted and less impactful because of that. And then anytime that you have any kind of suffering, whether it's just weariness from a heavy load or whether there's a special burden you're carrying, that can be its own distraction, and it can sometimes put a wedge between us and the Lord, because maybe you've been praying for 5 years for something to happen and it still hasn't happened. And so those things can cause us to be less pliable and teachable, and it causes our hearts to be hard. So we want to approach this topic, and our key verse today, we're going to move into that in just a second, with a heart that listens, a heart that believes, and one that's soft and teachable to the Lord. So let's go ahead and just jump on into that listening, okay? Let's get our feet wet with that this morning. So I'm going to turn it into a prayer, and then I'll give you a few, like 30 seconds or so for each one of these little parts. And you have a space there to write it down. And I would just go, if you've never done this before, go with the first thing that pops in your head. And secondly, I would say, if you don't get anything, that's okay. You can go home and do it. You know, these are intended to be used later in the week as well, okay? So here we go. We're going to listen. Here, I've got these questions starting at the bottom of page one. So, Father, we're going to come before your presence now, and I'm going to give everybody a break from me. I'm going to let them listen to you. And, Lord, we're just going to ask you to show us, Spirit. How would you describe our desire and our readiness to hear from you, Lord? And I've got several adjectives there. And, Lord, some other unique words you might want to put with it. Okay, Lord, so second question we want to bring before you now is, how difficult, Lord, would we be categorized in the category of believing? Where do we fall on the continuum between being faith-filled hearers or being one who is on the other end of the spectrum who struggles with unbelief, doubt, or worry? And then lastly, Lord, we're going to ask you to reveal to us any issues. This could be something that's happening currently or maybe from our past that may have kept our hearts from being soft and responsive to your word. Look at all that listening going on, those little pins moving. Okay, see, you did it. So, you know, a lot of times I have people that say, Kathy, you just hear from the Lord. Well, guess what? You do too. You just did. That is what it means to listen to God. It's just to open your heart to what the Word says. We talked about Hebrews, and we talked about the principles there, and then we asked the Holy Spirit to apply them to our hearts. And so, you listened. So you do listen. You do hear. Congratulations. And God has given each one of his children that capacity. His sheep hear his voice, he tells us. Okay, so let's dig into our key verse, our title verse, Hebrews 4:12, and look at three of the words that are described there. And I really am so excited about what God's taught me through this study this morning. The first word, God's word is living and active. The first word is word. And the Greek word for word is logos. And in the Greek language, there are two words for the word word. How many times can Kathy say the word word? And her lesson on God's word is living and active. Okay, so logos. And it is the most commonly used word, and it's got two meanings. And I'm so excited to tell you about both of them. The first meaning of the word of God, if you look at the original language, and I'm going to tell you how to do this if you ever want to know. If you're looking in your Bible, you find a verse and you think, I wonder what that word means in the original language. You can go to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and you can look in both the Hebrew for the Old Testament and the Greek for the New Testament. And if you want to know how to do that, just reach out to me, or I can just show you real quick how to do it. But that's what those little citations are. Those are Strong's numbers that go with that Greek word, so FYI on that. So the first meaning of logos, the word, is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the Messiah, our Savior. That's what that word means, is Jesus. And the second one is the compilation of God's sayings, instructions, precepts, and promises, where they've all been gathered together in our Bibles, the written word. Okay? Let's talk about the first meaning. You know, I started thinking about that when I started singing that song I was telling you. I started thinking about, you know, that's really something. I've known that Jesus is the Word. I know that Jesus speaks through His Word. I know that. I've lived that. And yet to think about Jesus being the Word Himself is kind of mind-boggling. I mean, it's kind of like too big for a human mind to comprehend. And so I wanted to listen to some people who do this for a living. You know, they're like really have a lot of credentials about this. And so I've listened to several things about this part of the meaning of the word word. And one of the most helpful was a sermon by John Piper. And he went through 40 something minutes about this. But really what he said could be summarized in his summary statement, which I've given you here. And I want to read that for us this morning because I thought it was so good. Okay, so he says, John, and we'll read that verse in just a minute. John, we're talking about the Apostle John, the disciple of Jesus. John calls Jesus the Word because he has come to see the words of Jesus as the truth of God and the person of Jesus as the truth of God in such a unified way that Jesus himself in his coming and working and teaching and dying and rising was the final and decisive message of God. So, do you hear what he was saying there? That the words of Jesus and the works of Jesus, the person of Jesus, combined are the essence of God's message to you and me, to mankind, his creation. And so Jesus himself is the Word, his very life, his very being. And so when John began to write his gospel account of the life and teachings of Jesus, he started out chapter 1, verse 1, with this verse, and we sang it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, logos, the Word, means Jesus. And he goes on to say in that same chapter, verse 14, that he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So the glory of the living God is in the Word of God. And I find that to be just like so amazing. There's a mystery to it for sure. And I believe if you will take that in and ponder that the very words of Scripture that are on this page or in your Bible or on your Bible app are infused with the very life of Christ himself, I think you'll begin to approach it differently. I think it will take the routine out of your time with him because you'll be more cognizant of the presence of Christ with you right there. And you know, it's been said that the Bible is the Word of God in print. And so I'm thinking about imprinting the life and the works and the dying and the living and the resurrection and the glory of God into that book and into those verses so that it is full of the life of God, the supernatural thing that God has done for us in giving us his word. So the way Hebrews begins kind of sums this up for us. It says in Hebrews 1:1-3, and I use the Message because I thought they just did a fabulous job. I'd like to look at a lot of different translations when I'm studying, and the Message just really did a fabulous job. It says, going through a long line of prophets, God has been addressing our ancestors in different ways for centuries. Recently, he spoke to us directly through his Son. By his Son, God created the world in the beginning, and it will all belong to the Son at the end. This Son perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what he says. Powerful words. I thought that was fabulous. So let me say one thing just to clarify. When we say we've listened to God, when we say we've heard from God, when we say God has spoken, are we looking for a new truth that's beyond what's written in Scripture? No. Please do not hear me say that. What we're doing is we're opening our hearts and minds to let the Holy Spirit teach us, inform us, apply to us what's already been written. We're not adding to. The Scripture tells us do not add to or take away from Scripture. So we're not going to do that. We're just going to participate richly in the Scripture that's already been given to us. Okay, so that's the Logos. Secondly, living. So God's Word is living. And that follows, doesn't it? So if Jesus is embedded in those words, it's living. And so if you look at the Greek there, it means it possesses living power that it exerts upon the soul. So there's several ways that God does that. I mean, the way that we all have in common is the Word of God has the power to give us life, to go from being dead in our sins to being alive in Christ. Says that there in John 5:24. So all of us, I'm assuming that if you're in this room and you're wanting to be in a discipleship class and learn about the Bible, that you know Jesus. And so the very Word of God brought you from death to life by the Spirit of God and the Jesus that lives in that Word. The second thing he does is he takes his words of life. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. I've got that reference for you there on the paper, John 6:63. And then Peter followed up in that same conversation and said, Jesus, where else can we go? For you have the words of life. So when we have a situation that's a decision to be made, something that's painful and difficult, something that's confusing, something that's, we just need light. We may need comfort. Jesus' very words are those life-giving words that as we go to his word and ask him to apply it to our hearts, it imparts his life to us in that situation. And so it's something that we want to kind of maintain. You don't want to just get a dose here and a dose there and then way later get another dose. But we want to stay in that life flow so that we have that constant, abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And then lastly, the type of life that that we know Scripture possesses is that it is eternal. It will never pass away. You know, here at Covenant Church, we'll read, I think it's the main sermon passage, and at the end of that, we'll say, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And in I wrote it from, I think this is the New King James, the word of our Lord endures forever. And that's 1 Peter 1:25 that we quote, and that's also taken from Isaiah chapter 40. But so God's word endures forever. What does that mean? I mean, it sounds theological and everything, but let's bring it to a practical level. And I feel like this, at this point, maybe a story might be helpful. Jesus never did anything without telling a story, the Bible says. And so I like to do like Jesus. And that's kind of how he did discipleship worked, is that he did his life with his disciples and talked to them about life. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about my life, just a little snippet that illustrates this truth that the Word of God endures forever. So I've got two children, Jackson. He's married. He has a one-year-old little boy. He lives in New Orleans, and he has been in his career for several years, and he's totally and completely launched. I've got a daughter, Merrill Lee, who's a little bit younger than him. She lives here in Birmingham. She teaches at the University of Alabama, and she's single. And that job, she's had some jobs before, but that was like her first, she's in her first big job, okay? But I was praying for her last week, and I was praying about the yet-to-be-determined part of her future, okay? Because, you know, unlike her brother, she's still got some things that we don't know yet, and I'm praying because I want God to be involved in that, right? So I was sitting there praying for Merrill Lee, and all of a sudden, the book of John tells us that the Holy Spirit will remind us of what he's taught us. So I was praying for Merrill Lee and just, you know, putting all that out before the Lord, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance this Bible verse. And it was a verse that I've known for many, many years, and it's one that he used in a very particular way in Merrill Lee's life when she was a senior in high school. So she was a really bright student, very gifted academically. She had a lot of opportunities for scholarships and that kind of thing. And guess what? This girl did not want to go to college. She wanted to stay home. And it's like, you know, were we going to make her go? Were we going to pick for her? It was, no, we want, you know, she's old enough at 18 years old, that we wanted this to be her decision. We wanted God to lead her. You know, we wanted her faith to rise up and help her, but she was big time stuck. And so I remember doing that same thing in that same spot, praying for my daughter and saying, Lord, this college church, Father, will you call Merrill Lee? Will you speak to her? Will you guide her? Will you be her guidance counselor about where she needs to go? And y'all, I was sitting there, and in that moment, the Lord reminded me of a verse I knew that I hadn't thought about in a long time, and I had a stack of Bibles sitting there, like six different translations, and I was drawn to my New Living, and I use the New Living a lot. You'll notice that. So I thought, I know that verse, but I don't know it in the New Living, so I opened it up, and let me tell you what it was. It was Psalm 73, verse 24, and here's what it says. It says, "You, Lord, guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny." And I read that, and can you imagine how I responded when I read that? I was like, oh, that's so good. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. I believe that. I really did. That hit, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I was just like, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. I'm going to trust you and believe you to do that for Merrill Lee. And y'all, this is another story for another day, but I'm going to tell you, God did exactly what he said he was going to do. One day the light bulb went off. She saw it. She believed. She felt called. She went. She had a glorious time at college, and in all the best ways possible. It was so spectacular. In fact, she would like to probably go back there and teach one day, so in her second big job, you know. So hear what happened there. It was the word of God. It was the work of God. It was the testimony of God to me and to my daughter. And even though it happened back, yay, those many years ago, it still had life in it last week when I was praying for her. It was like a live promise that has just been over her life, and I forgot about it, but God didn't. And so you can imagine that when he reminded me of that for her current situation, it wasn't quite as exciting as it was that first time, but I went, oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. You're the same God that brought that word, the same God that made that promise, the same God that fulfilled that promise in that area is the same God that's going to do that again. And so those words still live. Does that make sense? So that is something that we can squeeze the life out of. That's something that we can go to and access and grab hold of and remind ourselves of and practice and rehearse in such a way that that life, that living word, gives life and speaks life to us. Make sense? So logos, Jesus himself, the compilation of his word and works, living, life-giving. And then lastly, active. Oh, wait a minute. We've got to listen. I almost let y'all off the hook on that. Let's do a quick listening. This is the last one we'll do. Okay, so Lord, we want to just take advantage of the living aspect of your word. So we're going to take a moment here and ask you by the Spirit to bring to mind and remind us of either a word or a work that you've performed in each one of our lives, each one of us individually. Are going to just listen for that, and I would just say, write the first thing down that you think of. Now, Lord, we want to be in awe and worship you, that the God of the universe would speak and work and give testimony to us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being that kind of Father, that kind of Savior, that kind of Redeemer. And Lord, I pray that you would let that memory that's come to our mind of your word and work in our lives bring fresh life, breathing into our souls right now to enliven us and to bring forth just a deeper sense of faith and security in you, Lord. And we thank you so much, and we will go back to that later in the week and just enjoy that some more, Father. Thank you so much. Okay, so so let's talk about the active part. You know, you think about how many times have you heard that God said, let there be light. And the world became light, went from dark to light. So God's word is active. And what that means in the Greek is operative, powerful, and effective. It tells us in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So that's a lot of activity packed into the word of God. I mean, that's another mind-boggling mystery that's hard for our little minds to comprehend. But that same activity is going on between him and us as we allow his word to impact our hearts. Listen to this verse. I think this is a fabulous verse to know. It's 1 Thessalonians 2:13 in the New Living, and it says, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which, of course, it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. So you hear that. It's saying Paul was writing this to the Thessalonians in that church. And I don't know if he was teaching a Bible study or if he was pulling out the Torah and reading it, or whether he was telling them a story about Jesus or quoting something that Jesus said or giving his testimony about the road to Damascus. It could have been any of those things, but all those things are, as we said, part of God's testimony or word. And so what these Thessalonians did is very important, that not only did they listen to the word, but they accepted it as more than just human ideas, but they accepted it as the very word of God. And it says here that this word continues to work in you who believe. So think about the power and activity of God's word, is that once it's in your heart, it continues to work. How great is that? I mean, that's kind of like someone like that. Don't you all want the job where you're making money while you're playing golf or something like that? You know, it's kind of, God's word's kind of like that. It's like when you're thinking about something else, God's work is going on in your heart because you've accepted and received his word. So, you know, it's been said that whenever God speaks, that his word has the power to perform what it says or produce what it says. And so that means that if Jesus, for example, tells us love one another, I can tell y'all, or love one another as I have loved you, that's an even better one. Okay, so who in here can just pull that out of your hat? Not I. But Jesus, if he gives us that commandment, there's the power and the activity intrinsic in it. There's a promise embedded in there that he will work that in your heart. So the word of God is active like that. It's powerful. We saw Jesus use it against the enemy. The enemy wants to come against you with lies. He wants to tempt you. He wants to get you off track. He wants to distract you. But what we saw Jesus do as he was tempted in the wilderness while he was fasting for 40 days is take out that word of God and say, it is written. And through the word of God and its active power, he was able to overcome the enemy in those moments when he was weak physically. The word of God was more powerful than whatever he was facing, whether that be hunger or lies or temptation. So that is all I'm going to say about the word of God today, other than a testimony. I'd like to end with a little testimony. So we've learned about the attitude with which we approach the word, listening, believing, and not having a hard heart. We've talked about the logos being Jesus himself and the accumulation of the written word of God. We've talked about it being living and it being active in our hearts. And this is kind of an odd testimony for me, but I'm going to tell it anyway because it's the only one I've got, the only one that made sense today. But I remember early in my discipleship journey when I was really getting to know God, I went one summer night to someone's home. There was a little get-together. It was like a little Bible study fellowship time. And we broke off into twos at the end of it, and we were supposed to pray for one another. And y'all, I don't remember what we studied that night. I really don't. But what I remember is what the other person prayed for me that day. And this will stay with me as long as I live, and I know I'll carry it with me into eternity. And what she prayed was this. I'm pretty sure we had studied the Word of God in some form or fashion. But so I don't know what I prayed for her. I don't remember, but I remember she said, Lord, I want to pray for my friend Kathy. And Father, I want to ask you to impart to her the riches and the treasures and the depth of the value of the word of God into her heart. And Lord, right now I'm viewing this massive treasure chest, and the lid is thrown open. And Lord, I pray that you would make her heart like that treasure chest, and that you would fill it with all the rich and precious treasures that your word contains. And that, Lord, I see it full of just these precious things piling up to the top and spilling over the sides, and that her heart would be so full of your word that it would spill over and impact the people around her and her the world around her. Well, I was just squalling at the end of that, and I thought, oh Lord, if you would do that, I would be the most blessed woman in the world. Please come and do that thing. Y'all, God wants to do that for every one of us. And I'm going to tell you, I do have treasures. I mean, priceless treasures. That so many that I forget oftentimes, like I forgot about that verse I shared with you earlier. But what I felt like God wanted me to do today is to pray that for each one of you today. So that's what we're going to do in closing, is that I believe, that that's God's will for every single one of his people, everyone in this room. So I'm going to pray that prayer for you, and then we'll close. And on page, let's see what page it's on. 4, under personal application, you can write your one thing after I pray, okay? So let's quieten our hearts, and then I'm going to pray for us. So, Father, I do come to you now, and I just thank you so much for the just magnificent truth about your word. Lord, it's kind of incomprehensible, but we do pray that you would give us deep understanding about the depth of the riches of your word, about the fact that Jesus himself is the word. Lord Jesus, help us to know you and recognize you and see you and hear from you in your word. Lord, I pray that we would not struggle with unbelief or doubt, but Father, we would be enlivened with faith and with greater love for you and passion for your word as we interact and engage with you through your written word and as we gather together to do that. Father, I pray for each woman in this room and each woman that's listening over the recording, Father, that you would do the very thing. And I want to pass along the prayer that was prayed over my life so many years ago. Father, I pray that each woman's heart would be like that gigantic treasure chest, that, Lord, you would open it wide, that you would make it big, and you would make it humble and teachable and fertile ground for your word. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your truth, the truth of your love, the truth of your wisdom, the truth of so just everything that pertains to our lives, Lord, that's contained in your word. I pray that those rich, deep, precious, valuable treasures would be piled up word upon word in the hearts of these women, and that, Lord, they would grow so deep and so wide and so high that they would spill over, and that their hearts would be full of your word in such a way that they would not only be changed and transformed on the inside, Lord, first and foremost, but that that change and that riches and that treasure would spill over onto the people in their lives and the world around them, Lord. I know that that's your will for them, Father, and so I ask it in faith today. I pray today would be the day that they would picture that and mark that and come to expect that, Father, because I believe you're going to do it. Lord, we just thank you so much for loving us. We pray that you go with us now as we go to our groups and as we connect there, Father. Just bless us in this coming week as we continue to ponder these truths and bring us back together next week in Jesus' name.